All right, welcome everybody. This is our, I guess, first official Re3 podcast. We've been uploading our sermons for quite a while to our website, and now this year trying to get on some other podcasting sites. We're on Apple Podcasts and Google Play and whatever else, a whole bunch of stuff. But this is the first one we're doing, which is a little bit different. It's not a sermon. We're actually sitting down with a team that went to Jamaica last week on a mission trip. And just to kind of give you a little bit of background, this is our third year of traveling to Bluefields, Jamaica, working with the organization called Jah Works. Jah Works is a local mission organization based out of Walkertown, North Carolina, run by TJ and Megan Smoot. And their sole focus is to provide clean water here in this rural area of Jamaica. We do this by putting in rainwater catchment systems and large rain barrels that will fill it up this year. I think you guys can correct me if I was wrong. I think around 750 gallons was the size of the tanks that we were putting in. So pretty large amount of water there. But we're providing clean water, and we did eight the first year, eight the second year, and this year our team combined with the Jah Works team was able to knock out 12. And so 28 homes and many, many more communities and people have been given clean water through Jah Works and through this system now. And so that's what we want to do. Just for the next little bit, we're just going to sit here and chat, ask some questions, answer some questions, and just kind of share about our experience in Jamaica. So here I have with me today is four of our teammates that were with me on the trip. We have Danielle, who has been with me all three times. So say hello, Danielle.
Hello, Danielle.
We have Daryl and Becca. Daryl and Becca have both been twice now. And then we have a newcomer, Gracie. And this is her first time. And as I was thinking about it, and you know, I kind of threw it out to our team and said, hey, who would like to show up and do this? And you guys you know, generously volunteered after some guilt. But you're here, and I thought, what a great diversity, not just in you have two people that have been there three times, two that have been there twice, one that have been there once, but also just a good mix of seasons of life, you know, that we can kind of look at things differently. You know, we have singles, we have families, we have retirees, we have, you know, Danielle's in her 40s. We have
wait, 30. That just happened.
She's in her 40.
Like, only in the past 2 weeks.
Hey, you're welcome to the club, honey. Yeah. All right? So, and then all the way down, Gracie's just a young one in her 20s. So a lot of, like, different perspectives to be able to look at this
Daryl,
trip.
Daryl, he left you out.
Good.
I said, well, I didn't want to bring retiree. How's that? You know, Daryl? 80, right? 84? Are you,
like? Just turned 65 officially.
Oh, okay.
Can we say boomer?
Yes. Okay, boomer. Right? Is that we can't say that anymore because it's, like, old and not hip anymore. But anyway, we're here.
Was it ever hip?
I don't know. I think it was. All right. So we'll just start off with the question, and we'll just kind of, whoever wants to chime in, you know, from being your third time, second time, or first time, what drew you to want to go to Jamaica and work with Jah Works and doing this type of project?
Well, I went down in 2018 for my first trip. And I had a great experience, and truly, you know, it does change people's lives, and it changes generations, and it changes their communities. And so I reflected back on that, and, you know, this year I decided to go back again to have that same experience, and I was not disappointed. I still, you know, walked away or left or flew away feeling just as good about what we did and the camaraderie and the teamwork and, you know, just, again, changing people's lives for the better.
Right.
That was beautiful.
Ladies, why'd you go back?
I went originally and I went back. I was looking for something that was really hands-on, that was like we do a lot of mission trips that are like people-centric and you do make changes, but it's hard to quantify those changes, I guess. And so I was looking for something I could really quantify how it changed their lives. Like I could, does that make sense? Like a hands-on kind of thing. That's what kind of drew me.
You wanted something tangible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just something that I could say, this is exactly what I'm not only giving you, but I'm giving your community or helping to give, just being a part of that. So that's kind of what drew me.
And you hate people, so this is perfect.
I mean,
amen.
I'm iffy on them. I don't know what to say.
Well, Danielle, why'd you go back? This is third time.
Yeah, can't get rid of me. Well, it doesn't take a lot for me to go anywhere. There's no bar. I'm just like, if you tell me you're going somewhere and you're going to help people, I'm like, I'm in. Sure. How much is it? Let's go. You know, so I don't really have a whole lot of qualifications or any to go anywhere. But this is a wonderful trip. And I feel like these two just answered it beautifully. Like, Daryl's answer was wonderful, and I feel like Becca is like right on. I'm not a people person. And definitely not. And I've been on the Mexico trips, and those are a lot of the people, you know.
Relational.
Yes. Yeah. And that's great, and for some reason kids like me, I don't get it. But I'm more of like a hands-on kind of person. So I like to work and I like to do something. And when you leave, they have water. I mean, something that they didn't have before, and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's life-changing. And so if you tell me you're going back tomorrow, I'll just say, just let me wash my clothes, and I'll pack. So, yeah.
And Gracie, it's your first time. What made you want to go?
So originally, the only reason I said yes was just because Beck asked me to go with her. and so I just kind of said, yeah, without really realizing too much about the trip. But then after research and seeing pictures that she posted and her telling me more about it, I just thought it'd be kind of challenging in a way because I am a pastor's kid. I'm used to doing a whole bunch of mission stuff. Very relational, though. That's what I'm used to. So doing something kind of carpentry and like all that sort of stuff was going to be a little more challenging for me. And so I thought it'd be really fun.
And was it?
Yes. I survived.
You survived.
I feel like you excelled.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many times where, like when she was on my team, that I feel like it's easy for you to grab kids and like spend time with like kids. And there was one time that I was like, Gracie, put the baby down and come climb a ladder and put this bracket up.
And I think out of our 3 years, this was unique because there was a bunch of kids. Normally, there's not a lot of kids for whatever reason at the homes that we work at. Maybe they're at school or whatever. So it was great to someone like you that is very relational,
yes,
that does love kids and babies. You know, that was a need too. You know, I mean, really met that need of love and encouragement and attention that is I'm sure, overlooked.
Oh, you definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, Daryl, why don't you describe in as much detail as possible, what this rainwater catchment system, like, what does it look like? Like, how does it work? Because I get that question a lot. Like, you know, what is it? You put up a few now, so.
Good point. And I guess really everyone knows what gutters look like on a home. So if you start with that premise and that vision, basically all you're doing is putting up a gutter, sometimes just on one side of the house, sometimes on both sides of the house. It just depends on really how big the roof is and how much water it can catch. And then the decision is made to then determine if it's on one side. There's a pad that's poured out of concrete, and typically the Jamaicans do that before we get there because it has to set up and cure. And then, the large water barrel is brought in and typically is on site. And then if you can imagine coming down from the gutter, some more PVC piping. And I don't know some of the technical names of the parts, but I know there's a catchment system or a leaf catchment system. And then if you can imagine piping into this barrel using 45 degree or 90 degree turns, and then gluing the PVC together, and then putting the pipe into this large 650 gallon barrel, and they're all black barrels. And then the water, when it rains, will, if everything works correctly, will flow into this barrel. And as we go through the process, we test the system. We pour water actually on the roof, and we do a section at a time that if water flows downhill, which it typically does, then water will come out of the gutter, and we consider that a small success. And then when we put it all together, which means gluing and putting the brackets up and get into the barrel, we put more water on it to see if it actually gets into the water catchment drum. And so once that's done, you know, we give everybody each other a high five and
hugs. There's no better sound than hearing that water.
And it really is. It's anticipation because when you put a gallon of water on the roof and it goes through the gutter or down through the gutter and it hits the bottom of the barrel, there's a splatter and a splash, and, you know, you're all smiles then. And so we look at that as being very successful.
Okay. Now, Danielle, you can speak to this because we've worked on a home like this the very first day. It's not as easy as just putting up guttering like on houses here. You know, these houses, you know, the one we worked on that Monday, it was what, like 14 by 12. I mean, it was the size of what would be somebody's a shed that they would keep their lawnmower on here. And you had two people living in that house and the roof was so bad. You know, go get into that. Like how was that house compared to our houses here?
The roof, the one from the first day where we had to redo the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord of mercy. Okay. So I think lots of times when people think about us going and doing this, they think of the house you live in here. And you really have to think of more like a shed, like a small, like it's just these little wooden houses. And sometimes they're structurally sound and really good, but many times they're not. They're crooked. They're not level. And it's a challenge is a good word. The first house we were at this time, you know, we have to put guttering up and put the water catchment system. But the problem is the roof was just not able to get water to the gutters.
Well, it was rusted and had holes.
Yes.
It.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
So we had to redo the roof. So we get there and we've never done the roof before. And I'm like, all right, guess we're doing a roof. So we get there and me and Charles climb up there and we're like, ugh. So, but we pulled off the tin and the zinc showed up. And we put new zinc up there. And I mean, it really, so these people, not only did they get the guttering for water, they got a new roof. I mean, it was a lot. That day, all we had time to do, and we were there till it was dark. We got there first thing in the morning and we were there till like 5:30 maybe. And we did the roof. We had to go back another time and do the gutters. So, I mean, it was intense.
Yeah. And you brought up a good point, and I'll let, you know, Grace Quebec, if you want to speak to this. I know I had a conversation with someone about a week before I left, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to be going on a mission trip to Jamaica, and they just rolled their eyes, and they were like, that's a vacation. And
no.
I mean, let's be honest.
No.
I work harder there than I do here, okay? Yeah. I mean, it's like my life is a vacation compared to the work that we do there because, like, that first day, we worked sun up to sundown.
Yeah.
Either one of you guys want to speak to just the level of just physicalness that and toll that it takes on us when we're doing that? Like, was it surprising to you, Gracie, or Becky? You've been twice. I mean, how do y'all feel about that?
I mean, you're definitely there to work. You're not there to just lay on a beach, you know, or laze around. I mean, we do get to go to the water at the end of a hard day usually, but I mean, your number one priority is making sure that you are getting done the things you need to get done so they have water. And a lot of that, I mean, if everything was perfect, in a perfect situation, we could show up, slap one up in a few hours, but it's never perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, Danielle and Mike, y'all were at one house, me, Daryl, and Gracie were at another house, and when we ripped off the roof, there wasn't a single structural support that was standing. I don't know how we got up there and didn't fall through. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe some of us kind of fell through. Not to be named, but his name is Daryl. But, I mean, not all the way. But, you know, it's just always, I mean, Mike and I also had a house where it looked like it was running downhill, but the house was so not level. Mm-hmm. It was running uphill. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. Your number one priority is making sure those people get water. And so you are there to work. And you work. And you work hard and you're tired. I mean, it's not a mission trip where we're up till 11 o'clock hanging out. It's like, We're in bed by 8:30.
So much sweat. 8:30 feels like midnight.
Oh my gosh.
It's so much sweat.
Just plan to throw away the clothes mm-hmm. you wore there because you're so hot, but it's so worthwhile and so worth it. I mean, I had a lady whose house Danielle and I worked on last year, and we happened to be next door to her. And, you know, I didn't talk to her a ton or anything, but she saw me. Danielle was up at a different house.
I missed it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have liked to be like a fly on the wall.
She wouldn't have liked to be hugged. And
no, but I would have liked to have seen it from afar.
You know, and she came over and was just like, you've changed, you know, this water, this thing Jawworks does, it's changed my family, you know, and it's just, she was the woman that had the dents in her shoulders from carrying water, you know, and she's like, it's just changed so much and keep doing God's work. And I mean, it was just so worthwhile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like the Jamaicans get down and cry and, oh, thank you, and you don't do it for that. But it was just nice to know that, you know,
yeah,
right. That makes sense.
Do you want to speak to the work or how hard it is or any of that, Chrissy?
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff that I had never done before work-wise. I'm very crafty, like sorority kind of crafty, but I never...
sorority kind of crafty!
But I had never gotten up on a roof and like put in the brackets.
Glittered poster boards or something?
Yeah, I'm more used to glitter and things like that. I'm not used to, you know, drilling in the nails and then measurements and, you know, cutting the pipe and the wood and all that sort of stuff. But it was so much fun. And like Beck said, so worthwhile. But my first day, we rolled up at a house. I was super excited. And I was just like, well, here we go. I guess since I'm a first timer, they'll just kind of let me do the easier stuff and, you know, everything. And Beck was like, nope, get up on the roof. Let's go. Let's go. And I was like, all right, let's go. And so I get up there and I'm ripping these nails out and trying not to fall through because I miraculously didn't fall through or fall off the roof because at one point I pulled a nail out and almost went forward. So that would have been a great story to come back. But yeah, I did a bunch of stuff that I wasn't expecting to do in a way. But like I said, it was so worth it. And yes, if you go though, just plan to throw your shoes away after.
Yeah, Darrell. Yeah.
And when we talk about putting up gutters, you know, we get to the site, and you know, we just don't start hanging gutters. I mean, 'cause some of the houses, as you've heard, some very good descriptions. The rafters may be shorter. And when Danielle re-mentioned the zinc, well, the zinc is the metal sheathing on top of, it's the roof. You've seen it, you know, here in the States, but that's what they call the metal sheathing is zinc. So, you know, you have to build rafters out so that you can get your gutter hung so that the overlap works. And you may be there 2 hours just preparing the rafters for the guttering. So it's not just go hang and go. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, trying to figure out cut angles, and sometimes the rafters are not angled right, and you have to cut these little wedges. And so, you know, you have to be very clever and, you know, look at it from a simple engineering standpoint just to get your first gutter hung.
Yeah.
I feel like we become architects really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like it's like sometimes the house we were talking about were the wedges. That this time, I think we spent 3 hours on woodwork.
Every house is different. Mm-hmm. Every single house is different.
3 hours we spent, and they were beautiful, and Gracie cut wedges like a pro.
Thank you, whoever, for those power tools. That was a lifesaver.
Yeah, the first couple of years we had hand tools, you know, hand saws, and that's what we're cutting with. There's very little electricity around the rural villages we are, and we did have a very generous donation this year of someone as part of our Re3 community donated all kinds of
y'all. Seriously, last year a Jamaican saw me struggling with a handsaw and came over and was like, let me help you.
Just somebody walking by.
Yes. He was like, you've been trying to cut that wedge for 47 minutes. I've seen it. Yeah. So he stopped and helped me. So this year I didn't have that happen to me.
Amen for the circular saws.
Yeah. Yes.
And these homes and our experiences there aren't without, now we can look back and laugh, but little hiccups. You know, I don't know how many homes, I guess 12 or so that I've done over 3 years, you know, that I've been a part of the houses. And there was a house that literally went up perfectly. Like, it was like everything about it. We didn't have to cut any wood. Everything was perfect. We put everything together. Water flowed down. I mean, it was the most perfect house. We knocked it out in like an hour.
It took no time.
And then we found out the guys had poured the concrete slab on the wrong side of the house.
Well, on our side that we put the guttering up, the barrel was taller than the gutters.
Yeah. And so, you know, it happens. And
so we had to go back.
Go back and do it on the other side of the house.
On the other side of the house so they could use the bigger barrel.
Yeah.
So, wah, wah.
Yep. So, I guess just to wrap things up, anything at all that you guys want to, you know, if someone's listening to this and they're on the fence about, man, I don't know if I want to do a mission trip, or maybe Jamaica may be the one that I want to go to, is there anything you want to say to someone who may be listening right now?
I would just say pull someone aside that's been on the trip. It doesn't matter whether it's their first time, second time, or third time, and just ask your questions as honestly and transparent as you can, and you will get a direct answer. Because, you know, we have nothing to hide. I mean, you know, there's the things that go very well on the job and things that go very quickly on the job. But, you know, I just want to say you not only have a good work experience and do something for people and communities, but the culture there is incredible. Getting to know the people, and this time around, like you said, we got to know some of the little kids. And they would come up, and I think it's the first time some of them had actually seen an American with white skin. And
yeah,
they would touch you like, you know, are you real? And I thought that was pretty cool. So, you know, you get that whole aspect of it, too, that, you know, it's more than just water catchment. It's a whole world experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was debating on whether I wanted to go or not, after I'd done the research and everything, when I was there, I was like, oh, I'm here, like, let's do it. And I was kind of expecting the normal thing that people do when mission trips come, and it's like, oh, thank you, and none of that was really happening. And I was like, what is this? And, you know, doing my normal pastor's kid kind of stuff. And then the little girl that I was playing with, she just kept telling me over and over, you know, we're getting water, and today's the day. And that's when it hit me, where they must have been talking about it a lot, and in the community maybe she saw other people getting it. And so that's when it was hit me. I was like, calm down, it's not about you. But also, you know, you are doing something amazing. And one of our debriefs, Danielle mentioned this about the ripple effect. And that's, again, when it really hit me, where it's like this little girl who was only 2 or 3 or something, and I could only understand about half of what she was saying, but she just kept saying, you know, water today, you know, grandma's getting water. And so that's when it really hit me. And so that's what I would tell anybody who is possibly thinking about going, is that it's definitely worth it. And, you know, you never know. You never know what you're going to get out of it.
Okay.
I guess for me, what I would say is do it even if you're scared. Like, I know a lot of people are worried about the skills they have, how good they're going to be. Is it going to be too hot? You know, am I going to be able to handle it? And I'm like, do it anyways. Because that's when we're like that's when God can really use us, you know. If we let fear get in our way of going and doing, then we're not going to do anything. So I would say do it even if you're scared, if you feel God tugging you that way. Just do it scared. And I mean, both times I went, like, the teams have just been so supportive. And even if you're upset, you get over it quick. And, I mean, we're all there to encourage each other, and we're all on the same team, you know. And there's plenty of help, and there's plenty of people that know how to do it. So I think if you're scared, do it anyways, and you'll be surprised at how God can use you.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've ever had someone on one of our teams more scared than my mom, you know? And
well, I wasn't going to say it.
Dude,
well,
she got on the roof.
I mean, I'll say it. I mean, my mom went on this trip. And,
on the roof.
And
yeah, she got up on the roof.
You know, late 60s, first mm-hmm. time she's ever done a trip like this in her life. You know, very nervous about food, very nervous about just flying there, the work, you know, all that kind of stuff. The very first day, she's on top of that roof helping peel off the roof.
I know, that was pretty cool.
And so, and she loved it. I mean, she came back and she wrote me the nicest email like 2 days later, just like, I can't stop thinking about it. Like, it was such a good trip. And yeah, email, that's what we do. Gracie, why does that sound strange?
What? She didn't just call you?
No, that's not the type of family we are.
No, she made it clear that she waits for Mike to call her.
Oh, that's
yes. And it's
that's
not
true.
Enough. Mike, call your mother.
So Danielle, I mean, what would you tell? I mean, you've been 3 times now. You keep going back. What would you tell somebody that was thinking about going?
Well, I'd probably just wait for somebody to ask me. But I would be really honest. So I think Daryl's right. If anybody is interested, like, you can ask me and I'll be like legit honest. It's hot. And it's a lot of work. But it's really wonderful, and you'll you will get a lot out of it, and you're doing such wonderful things for people and the whole entire community, because when you help one family and one house, they share the water with the whole, with all the other houses around them and their family around them. So you're not just doing one house and one family, you're helping everybody. And also, I would say, about any mission trip, is go in with no expectations. That's how I feel about everything, because when you have these lofty expectations and you want these grand, like, moments of, you know, like, oh, this is what I need out of it, you miss the little things that are really wonderful. And I'm just going to kind of go on a tangent here, but there's this little moment that I thought was really wonderful, and it sort of hit me, like, much later. We were on the bottom of the hill on the road. It was like all of us. We finished a house and we're on the bottom of the hill on the road. And me and Becca were sitting there, and we're just chit-chatting about nothing. And these two little kids were getting water from, like, the spigot at the bottom of the hill. And they're little. They're like,
must have been like 5 and 7, maybe.
Yeah, it was a little boy and a little girl. They're filling up these, like, jugs of water. And so the little boy gets his, and he's going up the hill, and then the little girl gets hers, and she's yelling at him for, like, wait for me, and then she scurries up after him. And I just saw, like, I think to myself, like, well, the people we did these houses for don't have to do that. Like, they don't have to send people down. The families don't have to do that. They don't have to walk these long distances and carry these giant jugs on their shoulders. They don't have to send their 6-year-old and 5 or 7 or whatever they are down to do this. And I think that's really wonderful. So I don't know. I just say, you know, everybody here is right. And just go in with, like, no expectations, and really wonderful things will happen when you're not even expecting it. So that's what I'd say.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for being here tonight and being part of this discussion. Hopefully, if you're listening, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts at, if this is something that interests you, definitely contact Project Re3. You can email us, MikeG@projectre3.org. You can go to our Project Re3 website and projectre3.org, hit mission trips, and you can find the link to JahWorks, and you can go to their website and learn all about what all they do. And this is something we do at least once a year, and there's even been talk of maybe adding it as a second trip later again this year. So if it's something that you would like to be a part of, you don't have to be a regular attendee to Project Re3 to come. We definitely, if this is something that strikes your heart, and, you know, man, you just want to go supply the love and hope of God to these people through clean water, then we would love to talk to you about being a part of a future team. So thank you so much. And I would say also, real quick, stick around. We're going to add another podcast shortly after this. It's going to be a little bit more lighthearted and fun, just something kind of, you know, I'm already getting eye rolls, but it's going to be fun. And so to show you a little more glimpse into our trip. But anyway, thank you so much for listening, and check us out online. Thanks a lot.